Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lynn. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athamazin wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery. In tonight's show, we're talking about witchcraft in the garden, field, and forest.
We'll discuss the relationship between witches and the plant world, and ask if you have to have a green thumb to wear a pointy black hat. So, green growing things, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry, we've actually been sitting here discussing all manner of movies all night long, so...
Yeah.
We had this topic all planned out, and we will get to it, I promise, but forgive us if it takes us a minute to kind of ramp up and get there.
We're very chatty tonight.
We have been very chatty, which is good. And Lane has jinxed the podcast and said we haven't had any mistakes in a while or something to that effect, so I fully expect this one to completely derail and crash into our viewers head on.
Well, we used to kind of just say...
Viewers! There we go. I'm already starting.
Good
viewers.
Job. We used to say our intro... kind of off the cuff, and then we would fuck it up so many times, be like, okay, we have to start writing this down. So we did, and we haven't had a screw-up in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's what I said. We haven't had a screw-up in a while, referring to the intro, but mm-hmm. I did knock on wood. Maybe that'll help.
I hope so. I hope so. So, wood. That takes us to our topic. Segue. Wood is a tree. Wood is made out of trees.
Really?
Whatever. Anyway, our topic tonight,
yes.
Plants and growing things. So, I think I kind of threw this topic out there a couple weeks ago. Really, I guess while we were doing a Walpurgis Nacht thing. And I'd been thinking about sort of the role of plants in nature-based spirituality. Because I know we have listeners who are maybe not exclusively pagan or who... veer towards one thing or another, but something that I think is fairly common to most of our listeners and most of the people who have an interest in folk life and folk magic is an interest in some kind of plant life or plant lore, whether that's trees or working with herbs or, you know, having a garden, something like that. So I kind of wanted to just, you know, jump in, explore that a little bit, think about it, and just kind of get Lane's thoughts on it. While the microphone is running, so that it's recorded for all time.
You're not supposed to participate. What? I don't know. Where should we start? I guess the main question that we're posing is: do you need to work with plants to be a quote unquote good witch? I guess. Or
right.
Do yeah. witches need to work with plants? Maybe a better way to phrase that.
That's kind of where I was going with it. Was you know, I work with herbs and roots a lot. I really do. And I like doing it. It's a lot of fun for me. One thing I love is, you know, adding different botanicals to things and seeing what smells that creates.
Mm-hmm.
That's as much fun for me as like the actual magical part of it. But that being said, you know, I got to thinking about it and I was thinking, you know, you don't work with a ton of plants in your practice. You do work with some, but then there are a lot of people who work more with stones,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's fine. But, you know, I just kind of wonder, is there some sort of unspoken requirement that to do magic, you have to at some point, you know, at least dip your toes into herbalism or dip your toes into, working with roots or plants of some kind?
I don't know. My feelings on it are kind of, I'm going to be hard on myself here, what they always are, which is kind of like, well, you know, it's like half one way, half the other.
Right.
Like, I'm not a very good, what would the word be? I don't have a green thumb, really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really enjoy working outside very much. And, like, you know, the joke would be, oh, I'm the worst witch ever, you know, like, that it, I think it's a kind of a stereotype, honestly, mm-hmm. that, you know, a lot of witches hold for themselves that, we toil in the garden and, you know, we have our own herb garden that we use for food and for, you know, mm-hmm. witchy purposes. And I don't know, that's never really been me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they're called for in a lot of spells that you see. Yeah. And having, you know, done the little bit of work that I have with them, they are quite powerful when you use them correctly. Mm-hmm. So I will give the very wonderful answer of yes and no.
Fantastic. I love being completely evasive of a question.
No, but fantastic. I really would like to develop more of an opinion one way or the other with this discussion. So. Okay.
Well, let me tell you the opinion you should have. It's, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I really do enjoy both, you know, working outside and working in the garden and working with herbs, even if, you know, they're not ones I've necessarily grown. It's, you know, it's important to me, but I don't know that it's necessarily important to me because I feel like you have to work with plants to be in a natural spirituality. That being said, like, I don't think you can, well, maybe you can, I don't know. I don't think you can completely disavow, sort of the energy and sentience and sort of history of plants in magical lore, mm-hmm. necessarily. Like, you know, even just looking at fairy tales and thinking about how many times the woods comes up and, right. like, you know, being in a forest or, you know, in your case, like a secret garden, mm-hmm. you know, how important plants are to sort of just the atmosphere of magic. It, you know, I don't think we can completely ignore that, but does that mean that, you know, you have to go out and, you know, be able to identify every plant in your garden, or, you know, for that matter, every plant in your yard? Does it mean that you have to, know your top 10 plants and their magical uses? I don't know. I don't, like, I can totally see a legitimate argument for, say, like, urban witchcraft, where somebody's not, I mean, not that there aren't plants in a city, but where somebody's not really focused on using plants as a regular component of witchcraft, where maybe they're, you know, crafting sigils with spray paint, you know, mm-hmm. in city intersections. And, like, that, I could see how, oh, well, that's a totally valid way to work.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I kind of wonder, like, well, should you, you know, do you kind of need to play around with the herbs to discover you don't need to work with them, or, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's this whole other side discussion of there are a lot of witches who probably do come at this from a different angle and say, you really do need to have some contact with plants because the plants are, you know, this component of nature that actually does channel power for you mm-hmm. into magic. And, you know, you need to learn how to work with, like, plant ancestors or plant spirits.
Yeah, according to a lot of people, you know, every plant has its own spirit, right. or is part of a spirit, depending on who you ask.
Right, or both in some cases. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. It's a difficult question for me.
Me too. Why don't we ask ourselves this? God.
Because we need something to fill up an hour. Jeez. So yeah. So I don't know. Like. You know, just taking that one step at a time, like, do you, is there something inspiring to you about even just, you know, being outside in, like, a forest? Is there something that connects you definitely, magically?
Definitely, yeah. I live kind of, I live in a neighborhood now. When I used to live, when I was growing up, much more rural, and, there were a lot of woods around us, and, you know, the neighbors were, like, half a mile down, and really, you know, like, gravel back roads, you know, that mm-hmm. type of thing, like, really rural. So, like, I would go out, and, you know, I had this particular little clearing in the woods that I could go to, and it was a very spiritual place. So, yeah, I love just being out in the woods, or even just being outside and, like, at night and, like, looking up and seeing the moon, mm-hmm. you know, like, I can be surrounded, like, in a parking lot surrounded by concrete and steel, and I'm still feel connected when I'm outside.
So there is something to that does work, you know, that creates that magical atmosphere for you.
Right. But do I necessarily need to use herbs in, like, every mojo, you know, bag that mm-hmm. I make? Maybe not necessarily.
Interesting. And so I think that's, so you know, then looking at that sort of like macrocosm versus microcosm effect, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So how does that, you know, where does the disconnect come for you? Like, can you isolate that in any way? Like, is it a matter of you don't like to do the gardening part of it?
Yes.
But like, if somebody just gave you, you know, 20 jars full of herbs, you're like, okay, I can work with that.
Yeah, that'd be really nice, actually, because I was about to say a lot of it is the availability. Like, I don't really know what to go out and look for because, you know, I'm not, you know, plant lady. I'm not poison ivy. Like, you know, I can't identify, I guess, what I would be looking for, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't really get a chance to kind of go to magical shops or anything like that. That would have herbs like this.
I feel like I've done you such a disservice.
You're a terrible teacher.
Well, I'm not your teacher.
You taught me a lot. You're
a terrible magical friend.
But anyway, so like, I don't really have access to a lot of these things. So, and especially, actually, okay, as I'm talking, more things are coming to me. Sorry.
Yes, the full hour. Let's go.
When I was younger, you know, I had to hide everything, you know? So what I worked with was things around the house, you know, candles was a big part, you know, because it was totally normal for a teenage girl to have candles in her room. You know, even on a pretty table with like a few little pretty things here and there, you know, that would serve as my altar, but no one else knew that. So I've always been the sort to kind of make do with what I have. And that's pretty much worked for me. So if I don't need, if I haven't like found anything lacking, why would I go searching for more? And I know, I mean, yes, I will go, I have gone searching for more, and you know, that's not like a metaphor for knowledge or anything like that, but just in general workings with the, I guess the props that we use.
Sure.
It, you know, what I've had has always worked for me.
Sure. No, I can totally see that. You know, one of my favorite things to do in like a magical cleansing type of capacity is to make a sort of a floor sprinkle for carpets before vacuuming that is baking soda, allspice, and cinnamon. That's it's all cupboard spices. You know, it's all stuff that you're going to pick up at a grocery store. It's not like you're, and I'll be real. I'm not growing cinnamon. It's just not going to happen in my climate. You know, allspice I could probably get to work occasionally to some extent, but it's definitely not something that you can like just walk out back and then put it in the ground here and it'll grow. It's a very tropical plant from what I understand. But for all of that, you know, it is a plant and I am working with plants, but they're plants that I, you know, I picked up at the grocery store for, you know, $1 per bottle. So I can kind of see what you're saying there in terms of, you know, working with what you have. If what you have is your kitchen spice cabinet, you know, those are the plants maybe that you'll work with. But then the question is really, do you have to use those, or not even do you have to use those ingredients? Is magic empowered by those ingredients more so than by simply like written spells?
I think that's the heart of the question. And like so many things in witchcraft, I think it's honestly what works for you. If you find herbs really work for you, if you kind of have your own language with them, then awesome. But, you know, some people, stones really work for them or other things.
Yeah, and for me, you can drop, you know, you can drop a 50-pound piece of, you know, rose quartz in my hand. Probably not a 50-pound, that would hurt. But, you know, 5-pound rose quartz crystal in my hand that has, like, an amethyst inclusion in the center of it, which has, like, a mosquito trapped by... You know, that's clearly like got dinosaur DNA. Like, you know, whatever. You know, you can put this amazing crystal in my hand, and at most, it might be like, that's interesting. You know, I might occasionally feel like, oh, maybe there's some kind of a tingly thing going on. I just don't connect with stones that way. I think that they're neat. I know a lot of people do, but I'm just not as much of a stone person.
I used to be more, but again, I had a lot of them already. So, but now that I've had. And this kind of negates my argument from earlier. Now that I've worked with other things and I've found what works better for me. So to kind of tack on to my statement from earlier, even if I think it's still good to try new things, you know, plants included, just because you don't know what could work best for you. And what you think is working great mm-hmm. may just be 50%, you know?
Right. Like everybody, you know, a lot of people, well, I say everybody, a lot of people start off with like candle magic. Mm-hmm. But if like you never try anything but candle magic, then you never know if, you know, for example, herbalism would be the thing that you excel at.
Right.
You know, or, you know, maybe not even that. Maybe you get really, really good at, you know, carving runes and doing divination. You know, there's a lot of options out there sort of on the magical table.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. To me anyway, I think it's very interesting to think about. Like you said, you definitely have a sense that the outdoors, and I would say particularly places like a forest where there's sort of a wilderness to it, mm-hmm. have magical and enchanting powers just in and of themselves. But, you know, taking that down into the smaller, compact world of working magic with your hands in your own home, maybe that's not as necessary. I don't know.
I really think it depends on the person and if that is important for them or not. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more important for you. Mm. It's the person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it comes down to that personal choice, I guess.
Yeah.
But so with that being said, you know, do you feel like in your own practice, you know, we talked about you're not the type to do the gardening, but you are the type that if you're given the stack of herbs, you probably will find a use for them. Are you the kind of person who, when the resources are placed in front of you, you're likely to learn a lot about them on your own? Are you going to try and connect with them spiritually? Are you going to try and approach them from a more practical standpoint and kind of, you know, this has this association, so it does mm-hmm. this? Or are you going to be like, I'm going to sit here and hold, you know, a handful of black pepper in my hand and try to figure out, okay, what energy am I getting off of this? What should I use it for intuitively?
Both, honestly. I know that sounds like, oh, overachiever, but like, I don't know. I've always been fascinated with magical associations, like color and any, you know, like we used to, you know, I did a lot with, the Zodiac and, you know, mm-hmm. kind of, this, you know, planet is in this house and what does that mean? And, you know, just a lot of that type of thing. And I just always been fascinated with that. And I think plants, I never quite got there. Mm-hmm. So it's really lacking in my knowledge, I think. I would like to learn more about certain plants. But, you know, I have sort of my own associations with some things. Like, I've worked with, you know, rose petals before, which mm-hmm. is pretty a given, I guess.
You're a chick, whatever. You like rose petals. They smell nice.
I don't like the smell of roses at all.
But jasmine.
I do like jasmine. Hmm.
And for me, like, when I'm trying to connect with plants, like, one of the things that I kind of abide by, do you know the concept of the doctrine of signatures?
Yes.
So I kind of approach it that way, where, like, I'll look at it and say, you know, does it resemble a heart? Okay, well, then it's mm-hmm. probably got a love component to it, or it might be good for treating heart ailments. You know, is it hairy? Okay, well, then it might be good for stimulating hair growth, that kind of a thing.
Is it phallic?
Because then it's good for money. I'm kidding. What? Where's that? Why? I don't understand. Penis equals money. Kinky bunny. There's your tagline slogan. Penis equals money. Kinky bunny.
But I don't have one.
Wait. Anyway, that was totally off topic and random. But so like, that's kind of how I approach it is, you know, I look at the plant in and of itself and see what it kind of tells me. And, you know, and I do try to look up things like its medicinal properties, because I tend to think like if something is really good for stimulating circulation, it's probably going to be a very good aphrodisiac, for example. Because it's increasing blood flow. Anything that increases blood flow is probably going to increase either your propensity for rage or your propensity for arousal.
Hmm.
So.
Okay, so let me ask you this. What do you follow more? Like, your gut instinct or what, you know, other people have said this sort of corresponds to?
It used to be very much the, dig out the Cunningham Encyclopedia, go and look up the entry, and that's what it was used for.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I got further into looking at folklore, I started going more with a gut instinct. Like, a lot of the things that I make may not match up exactly to other people's recipes within hoodoo.
Mm-hmm.
They're not completely dissimilar. And I do pop open the Cat Ironwood book whenever I'm working on a mojo, just to kind of really to double check myself more than anything else. Like, I'll say, okay, these are the components that seem right to me. And I'll look and I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. So she wouldn't use it for this specific thing. She would use it for this, but I can kind of see how that would relate. But, for a good example of this is collard seeds, which, I probably would never thought of using in magic. But then I read this Uncle Remus story about Brer Rabbit and how he makes a mojo hand out of, weirdly, a rabbit's foot and some collard greens and I believe some tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, well, okay, I can totally see, like, the different components there of, luck from the rabbit's foot and the tobacco being, it's very typical of Native American ceremonies. And so I can kind of see it being this sort of, like, peace offering, and also tends to offer, it's something that I can see, like, inspiring a sense of luxury and a sense of a calm and relaxed atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then the collard seeds themselves, I started thinking about, it's like, oh, well, they look like, tiny little green money, and then they grow into big leafy money.
Yeah.
So it's like coins growing into dollars. And it's like, oh, that makes complete sense. And it still follows the doctrine of signatures in its own way. And so, digging that out of folklore, and then, letting my reason is a bit of a stretch, but letting my understanding guide my use of herbs, I think, is more important than making sure the correspondences match up in a book.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think that you should disregard books. I think that the books are really, really valuable, especially when you first start learning about things.
Yeah, because, people think they correspond to certain other things for a reason,
Mm-hmm.
It's someone probably intuited this way back in the day at some point, and it's worked for people, so, it's generally a good thing to go by.
Exactly. And if you look in Cunningham's encyclopedia, if you go to the bibliography, it's not like he was ignoring the centuries of folklore that came before him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what he includes in that book are things that have been mined from folkloric sources. Now, whether or not I necessarily agree with every entry in there at this point in my life, I probably don't. But I don't think he was a bad researcher. I think he did a lot of good research, and he added his own spin on some things, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do. I'm doing the exact same thing, and I just have a slightly different spin.
Yeah, you just haven't published.
Yeah. Thanks for rubbing that in. Yeah. Appreciate it. Whatever. Whatevs.
That was a mean giggle.
That was a mean giggle. Sly giggle. I do think, again, getting to the heart of the question of, is it important to work with herbs? For me, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it for everyone else? I don't think it has to be. But
I think you should at least try it.
Exactly, yeah. I think there's no harm in seeing if it works for you or not.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know of a lot of people that don't use it in one capacity or another.
Agreed.
Yeah. Just because it's so prevalent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. That was kind of circular. It's prevalent because it's prevalent. But do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. It's just plants have had such a presence in our lives for so long. It's hard to completely segregate them out. We're so dependent upon them that, in a magical sense, there's no reason that we shouldn't be somewhat dependent upon them there too. But that being said, that doesn't mean you have to, you have to be a vegetarian. This is a metaphor that's probably going to break down really quickly. Like, you could theoretically kind of get by eating, steak and bacon and potatoes and, taking vitamin supplements or something like that. I don't know. But it's probably more balanced to have some vegetables in your meal. That metaphor broke down completely right about there.
It's all right.
I have nowhere else to go with it.
I'm sorry.
So I was going to say, but you don't need to eat just vegetables. And I was like, well, that's actually fairly healthy. So
yeah.
If you want to be just an herbal witch, then just be an herbal witch, apparently. According to Corey's metaphor, that's all you have to do. So yeah, do you think that there's some prestige in witchcraft? Like, if somebody has an extensive knowledge of herbs, does that sort of set them above somebody who has an extensive knowledge of stone? Stones is probably a bad example because I think those do kind of get ranked about the same level for most people. But for like for me, one of the things I love doing are written charms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really love, you know, pen and paper written charms. So, you know, if I write out a little charm that you're supposed to tuck into your door sill to act as a protective barrier, and I give that to you, I think you personally would probably value that pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how many people would feel like, you know, that's nothing. It's not going to do anything because it's just paper and pen. But if I gave them, you know, a mix of three herbs that I had ground together, or not even that I had ground together, like if, you know, just I bought them powdered, mixed them together and gave them to them, like they think, oh, this is really, you know, this is pretty witchy. Sprinkle it across my door.
Well, you're getting into the whole, I can't, you know, the stereotype of it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, you know, double, toil and treble.
Mm-hmm.
Type of thing.
Right, the perception of witchcraft as something that involves all this kind of esoteric knowledge of things that grow out of the earth.
Right.
Things. Yeah. But I mean, that stereotype exists for a reason, maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So, hard to say. Well, okay, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, maybe talk a little bit about plants that we do like to work with, and then talk a little bit about whether or not you have to do the gardening yourself, or let someone else many states away do it for you and enjoy the comfort and safety of the internet.
Hello, this is Firelight, creator of Inciting a Riot, the podcast. Come join the riot as I tackle tough issues in paganism, news, and living a modern, magical, middle-class life. Find the show on iTunes or become a rioter by following the blog at fire-lyte.blogspot.com. Inciting a Riot, lighting a fire under comfortable thinking.
Hi, this is Chris Orpello from The Infinite and the Beyond. The Infinite and the Beyond is an esoteric podcast for the introspective pagan mind. Join us as we explore a variety of topics that relate to life and one's unique spiritual journey. Episodes center on paganism, the occult, parapsychology, science, society, and culture in the 21st century. We can be found at www.infinite-beyond.com. From there, you can contact the show directly, visit our forum, and find links for the show and where we can be found online for you to subscribe and download. I hope to be hearing from you soon. Mary Part, Blessed Be, and 93.
Do you dream of living a simpler life out in the country with the classic red barn and prerequisite chickens and a garden? Do you long to have fresh food that was grown organically and didn't have to travel 1,500 miles to reach your plate? Well, if you're a city slicker with big country dreams, head on over to the Pagan Homesteader, where we will look at homesteading from a pagan perspective. Here we will talk about various farm animals, organic gardening, permaculture, rainwater catchment, downsizing, and everything it takes to create our simpler life. Okay, so maybe it's not always that simple. Anyway, pull up a chair as we learn about all things homesteading, and I share ideas on how you can create your own urban homestead. Happy homesteading, everyone.
And we're back. It's only moments for you, but it was like an hour and a half for us. Because we get talking about other things, and this is what we do. But now we're going to talk about whether or not you should, you know, roll with the homegrown, or if it's okay to order off the internet. And here, I think this discussion, you know, let's start with the plants, but this is probably going to apply more to, you know, any magical supplies. And so something I kind of run into when we're talking about, you know, if I'm going to make an herbal blend of some kind, do I need to grow the herbs that I'm going to use? Or is it okay for me to just, you know, order them from, like, Mountain Rose Herbs, which is one of my favorite herb suppliers, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there. Mountain Rose Herbs. Check them out. Free plug. And all of their wonderful herbs go into our fantastic products at Compass and Key Apothecary. Available at compassandkey.com. No, it's not. Ah, shit. Etsy.shop.compassandgear/whatever. It's in the show notes. I'm terrible at self-promotion.
It's okay. They're there.
Oh. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is, you know, we buy all these, you know, I buy a lot of my herbal supplies to make things like our oil blends and all that. If I have things that I've grown, for example, lemon balm or mugwort, things that I just sort of have growing in my garden, rue, any of that comes right out of my garden because I have it already. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't I?
Why buy it?
Right. But, you know, for something like cinnamon, I clearly am not going to grow cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not happening in this climate. So I have to buy that from somewhere. And so in that case, I do try to order it from places that I think are reputable. But I mean, like, what's your take on the whole idea of, you know, growing your own versus ordering from the internet versus maybe even wildcrafting, like, you know, going out and finding these things, not growing them yourself, but finding them out in the wild?
I don't know. I feel like something that you grew yourself would possibly have more power.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that as a maker of things. Mm-hmm. You know, I knit and I spin and, you know, I make things by hand, and they definitely have, you know, more of a place in my heart, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that happening with herbs, but I don't think that means that, you know, ones ordered or bought or are necessarily bad either.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. Cause I mean, you know, you know, you've gotten into spinning. So if you, you know, take wool and spin it into yarn, that yarn then means a lot to you.
Right.
But
more so than commercially spun.
Right.
But
you didn't raise the sheep.
No.
And so.
I didn't shear it.
Right.
I didn't scour the fleece, you know.
Right. And so in that situation, you know, I think you can kind of go backwards and make that kind of an argument with the herbs. Like for me, the crafting of the oils that I make,
mm-hmm.
like as I'm making those oils, when I get the smells right, when I get the feel right, when I get the when I find just the right psalm to match that work, you know, or whatever I'm doing, that to me creates a craft that I fall in love with. It's that place in your heart thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the final product has that place in my heart thing, but you know, backtracking, did the herbs that came out of my garden mean more than the stuff I had to order? Maybe and maybe not. I don't know. It's tough to say because, I mean, if you raised your own sheep, that would probably mean even more to you.
Yeah.
But does that diminish the amount of love that's already in the yarn that you're making yourself?
Exactly. No, it doesn't.
So it's a tough, it's an interesting question to me.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the main issue, I guess, that I could see being brought up about it is, I guess, the areas that the different herbs are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you're working, like, for example, us in the South, you know, one way out west, I don't know, it just has, I guess, a different energy.
Right, okay, so, like, in other words, if you're, you know, should you mix peyote with, because that's the only thing that grows in the Southwest, apparently, it's the first thing I go to. But, you know, should you mix, you know, a desert flower of some kind with magnolia blossoms when those two things aren't naturally going to occur together very easily?
Yeah.
You know, or is that part of its magical charm that you're bringing together disparate elements? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't even necessarily mean, you know, bringing together things that shouldn't necessarily go together, but just what if you bought, you know, you're like your rue from, the, you know, but the farthest way we can get, like, you know, California.
Mm-hmm.
Would, you know, I would it have a different feel to it? Yeah, it's rue still.
But it's definitely more relaxed if it comes from California. Though it strangely votes Republican, so I don't. I've never understood that about Californian rue.
Damn you, rue.
Anyway. No, I know what you're saying, like, is because it's sort of what they call in winemaking the terroir of what your herbs pick up from the soil that they're in and the places that are around them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. You mm-hmm. put it way better than I did.
I used the word terroir, that's
yeah,
why.
You did.
that was really pretentious thing to say, too.
No, but it's exactly what I was talking about, or, you know, mm-hmm. trying to say.
Right, and like some of the herbs I order from Mountain Rose, they can't grow stateside, so they'll have to import them from places like Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, I mean, definitely got a different vibe than, you know, being grown stateside. And then, like you're saying, something grown in Montana is going to have a different feel than something grown in, you know, northern Georgia.
Right.
That's not to say they're going to be completely, you know, incompatible, but it's different.
Yeah, and again, I'm not saying that it's bad necessarily. It's just something you should kind of think about, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
So.
And then, I mean, to that same point, the kind of the way I was originally interpreting what you were saying about, you know, mixing things that just don't seem to be naturally found together.
Mm-hmm.
In the way I've worked a lot of my magic is I work from several different systems, but those systems more or less operate independently. Like, I'm not going to necessarily use a powwow charm as a component of a hoodoo mojo bag.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of, I know these different systems and I work them, but I work them independently. And so would I then use, you know, would I try to craft something out of herbs using things that just are, you know, from one region that never would have connected to this other region, naturally speaking, you know, is that going to create some kind of a conflict within the magic that I'm working? And I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
I don't know. I kind of see it.
Both ways. You can see both ways, aren't you?
No, on the flip side of that, I kind of see it like, you know, magic itself sort of can bring together things that don't necessarily interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe that's...
Right, that paradox, that ability to function in a paradox.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. It's very true. So, and I'm not trying to be a stickler here and say like, oh, if you mix these two systems, you're a bad person. I don't know that. I've always tried to keep them separate because there's something in me that feels like it's like for me it would be disrespectful to try and impose one system on another when I know that they come from different cultural constructs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I use that example, but I'm not trying to say like, if you use something grown in the mountains of Colorado, and then something grown in the mountains of Appalachia, that those two things are, you know, that you mixing those two things instantly makes you a bad person. No, absolutely not. If anything, I think that's interesting because you're blending two mountain ranges.
Yeah.
And so you're getting two very different kinds of mountain energy into the same ritual. I can see a positive to that too.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be kind of something that you were saying.
Yeah. Again, our personalities and our philosophies come out. You were thinking practical. I was thinking philosophical.
Indeed. yeah. So, and then what about the question of wildcraft versus cultivated craft? Like, in other words,
I don't really see that much of a difference.
Okay, can you get into that?
I don't know. I mean, it's grown in your region. I mean, yeah, again, like, growing it yourself would probably have, you'd have more of a attachment to it, or it would have more of a power to it, but it wouldn't be that much different. I mean, it's still in the same area as you, mm-hmm. you know, it...
Right, it's not going to... If you can grow where you're growing it, then it's probably compatible with your environment.
Yeah. So. I don't know, I just... The only thing that, it, to me, that it would add by having you do it yourself, you know, not necessarily just the world around you doing it, would be that, you know, you put your energy into it. You put your kind of blood, sweat, and tears into it.
Right.
Which can be very powerful. I'm not trying to downplay that. I don't know.
That kind of reminds me of, like, the idea of the, do you know, like, the mandrake baby?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where you treat the mandrake root like an actual baby, mm-hmm. and you feed it milk, mm-hmm. or whatever, and it sort of becomes alive because you're caring for it.
Mm-hm.
And in cultivating a garden full of herbs, I think that there's an element of that where you're investing that kind of love and time and attention in the different herbs of your garden, so you already have a developed, I mean, it's kind of like almost a parent-child relationship with mm-hmm. everything in your garden.
Definitely.
Except the things that you murder horribly because you can't water them correctly.
Shut up.
I was referring to some of the things I've grown this year, but that's whatever.
Maybe I'm oversensitive. Okay, I feel the need to interrupt for this then. Corey and I were discussing earlier, I have some succulents that I came into.
Emphasizing the suck part of that.
The succulents, yeah. If you don't know what they are, they're like family, you know, like they're related to the cactus, so they don't require much water. You know, just give them some sunlight, sprinkle them every now and then, and they're good.
And they're dying.
Like, this whole episode is kind of funny for me because I seriously have a black thumb. So, anyway, yeah.
You work with animals. You like animals.
That's true. I really do like animals.
Yeah, so anyway. No, that's a good point.
Yeah, did you notice a little pat on the head, y'all? It's okay.
It's okay. I didn't actually pat her on the head. She patted me on the knee earlier to comfort me, whatever. But the flip side to the garden question.
Yes.
So, when you think about the places that have made you feel like, ooh, so witchy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where have they been? As far as, like, involving plants or nature, they've been...
Wild. They've been, yeah.
Exactly. And even in, like, the secret garden, which you love so much, like, what makes that a garden so special? It's wild.
Yeah.
It was cultivated, but it's gone wild.
Yes, it just goes... And there's, you know, all just beautiful flowers everywhere.
Right.
And they've run over the place.
Right. Like, this slight hand of humanity has touched the garden.
Yes.
But nature in and of itself has taken over from there.
Yeah.
And the wild is the same way. So when you find... When you bring a plant in from the wild into your craft, like when I make a mojo bag, the way I tend to think of it is I'm making a tiny little spirit house for specific spirits to sort of come and dwell in, and those spirits are what actually go and sort of perform the magic for you in its own way. And so if you're bringing in something wild, does that bring in a specific kind of spirit that's going to be more effective because it naturally is tapped into that wilderness that already is so tapped into magic?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Or is it better to just, you know, go with the herbs that you've grown or, you know, the herbs that you ordered over the internet, however you got them? You know, like, I don't know, the question of better is a very difficult question, but the question of, you know, what kind of an effect does it have to do these different methods is, I think, important to ask. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, okay, so you're the one who's worked with herbs so much more, and I'm sure you've worked with all three, you know, internet, self-grown, and wild.
Mm-hmm.
So what have you noticed about that?
That's a good question. I don't know that I have noticed anything.
See, our whole point is moot. Thanks for that.
Indeed, my whole point is moot. No, I mean... I guess it really depends on what your purpose is and what you're crafting and how you're crafting it. Like, if I am creating, you know, if I'm trying to create a very, very specific blend, like I really want specific things in my oil that I'm making, for example, then the process of that creation and the fact that it has to steep for so long and all the elements of those herbs and roots and whatever are going to seep out into that oil... It means it makes it just as effective to use, you know, things that I've grown in the garden, wildcrafted or purchased. It doesn't seem to have a strong effect.
Okay.
But if I'm doing something like where, like I'm trying to create like a little, you know, dolly or something like that out of plants, then because I need it to kind of be alive already, there I would want to use something wildcrafted, probably.
We did that when we made corn dollies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we used store-bought corn for the husks, but then, like, we gave her flowers from out... Sorry, that was my phone buzzing, if you can hear that. Both our phones are blowing up tonight.
I know, popular.
Where was I? I'm sorry.
The corn dollies, we were sticking with the wildflowers.
Yeah, we had some flowers that we kind of put in her, you know, quote-unquote, hands. And those were from my front little
yard area.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there is something to be said for when you're doing magic, you know, including the wild as well as the tame. But I mean, I don't know, I guess it really just comes down to what your purpose and what your practice is. And this all really does come back to what works for you. With the same thing we sort of said at the beginning, which is, you know, if you're the type of person who doesn't really work with plants anyway, then it may not matter what kind of plant you use. Mm-hmm. Or it may make it all that much more powerful that you found a plant because you work with them so rarely.
Right.
So it may be something where, like, you happen to be wandering through the city, look down, and there's a dandelion pushed up through the cracks of the sidewalk. Well, you know somehow intuitively that the dandelion has a root that you can use for specific purposes. You can create an all root out of it, which is like a root doll baby. Mm. You know, and so you take that home and you really, really tend to that specific thing, and it's all the more powerful because it's so rare in its environment, and because you were paying enough attention to identify it. You know, you connected with it on some level.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it could be that it flips either way. So, I don't know. So, what we're basically saying this whole episode is, meh, we don't know. could be this, could be that.
Okay, our whole motto is like, new world witchery. It depends.
Whatever works for you. So, yeah. So, I don't know. And, I mean, if I'm thinking about it, even just, you know, really briefly at a folkloric glance, all of those tales that I can think of basically involve people going out into the wild to either gather herbs for, like, a medicine that you have to make, or, you know, being lost in a wood, and the wood is kind of the wild place.
Yep.
So if you're going purely from a folkloric standpoint, I think in most cases, well, no, that dadgummit. Then you get back to that Brer Rabbit example where he's got the tobacco, which is a cultivated crop, collard seeds, which are clearly something connected to cultivation because mm-hmm. you're going to cultivate a food source.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe that's not the best example. It depends. New world witchery. It depends. Wow.
But no, I mean, even though we've kind of circled around ourselves, I still think, you know, we had some good points, I guess.
I agree. And I think that it's one thing to take away from this is, If these questions have in any way sort of struck a bell with you, try all three methods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try working with the store-bought stuff because that's pretty easy. Try growing your own a few times just to see. You never know if you're going to have a green thumb or if you're going to wind up killing cacti. You know, you have no idea. And if you get a chance, see if you can't gather something wild and see what that does for you.
Yeah.
What this comes down to, I think, is something I find to be very, very true about myself and hopefully a lot of people who are involved with magic. I like to experiment.
Yes.
I think it's very important to always be willing to say, X technique worked this way. I want to see if I can make it better. I'm going to try this. And be willing to also admit, that didn't work at all. That was kind of lame and pointless, and so now I'm going to go back to this other thing. You know, figuring out what works for you by experimentation. Witches are sort of natural scientists in a way. not that scientists would in any way recognize that as a true statement.
They're probably really pissed that you said that.
Yeah, a little bit. So, Kathleen, if you're listening, please let me know if you're pissed. Because she's a scientist.
I caught that. Thanks.
Okay. She studies rocks, so she's not going to listen to this one. Anyway, so, yeah, but there's this element of you need to, I think it's really important to go out, experiment with different techniques, see what works for you. And that, you know, so again, we talked about with the books, you know, read the books to see what that can give you. And then also, you know, use your intuition,
mm-hmm.
you know, see if, you know, if you follow the doctrine of signatures, see what the signatures of the plants tell you. If you go off of, you know, holding the plant and kind of connecting to it on an emotional level, see what that does for you. Just see these different techniques, see these different methods, and see what you can do with them. I think that's fair.
Yeah, definitely. Sorry, right. I'm yawny.
I know. You ready to go get ice cream?
Hell yeah.
All right. We're going to go connect with a very specific plant in the mentha category and then the cacao categories. We're going to connect with a couple plants. in the form of mint chocolate chip ice cream now. So, if you need to reach us while we're eating our mint chocolate chip ice cream, you can do so at newworldwitchery.com.
Or the blog, which is... No, that was the blog. It's late, shut up. Or the email. which is compassandkey@gmail.com.
Correct. You can also find us on Twitter with the @ NWWITCHERY, which is @NWWitchery. let's see, is there anything else? Oh, I am not going to plug the shop because I failed miserably at it earlier. Would you like to attempt to plug our Etsy shop?
Yes, we have an Etsy shop, although I say we very loosely. It's mainly Corey.
You're going to do a lot of it over the summer.
Yeah, Corey's going to be in school, so I'm going to try and take over that and help out a little bit so we won't have to go on vacation for so long. But anyway, it is compassandkeyapothecary.etsy.com. Both links work, I believe.
Oh, okay.
If that doesn't work, it should be Etsy.com/shop/compassandkeyapothecary.
Okay. Well, it's not apothecary. The apothecary part's not on there.
Oh, so it's just compass and key?
Yeah, that's the part I was shaking my head to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's just that it's compass and key. And
.etsy.com.
.etsy.com or Etsy.com/shop/compassandkey.
Oh.
I think that's right. It'll be in the show notes.
There we go.
There you go. We're both terrible at promoting this shop.
We really are.
There's good stuff there, I promise.
Yeah, I've used the Crown of Success quite successfully.
And everybody who's bought stuff from us seems to say nice things about it, so.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. I put a lot of love in it.
Yes.
So. And you get, I mean, not to toot any horns, but, like, if you order stuff from us, like, I go a little nutso on, like, including freebies. So, like, I had somebody the other day who ordered, like, I think they just ordered an oil. Like, they just ordered one oil, and they wound up with, like, 2 oils and, like, 4 little packets of herbs and just all this little stuff that was in there. And after I packed stuff, I was like, that was a lot of stuff. Gonna save myself some time. But no, it's fun. Like, my whole philosophy in doing these packages is I want somebody to open it up and feel like they get kind of a whiff of magic out of opening it. I want it to sort of enchant their world. And so that's why I like to include lots of neat little stuff. But anyway, so that's enough about the shop.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
If you need to contact us, do it.
Yeah. If not, we're going to be eating ice cream anyway. So, as always, thanks for listening.
Be well.
New World Witchery is recorded using GarageBand on Mac. The song you're listening to is Homebound by the artist Jag from Cypress Grove Blues. It can be found on magnatune.com. Magnatune, your source for PodSafe music.
New World Witchery. It depends.